3, on putting problems in perspective. It is painful to live in this world. It's not a sin to worry or hurt. It's not a sin to have problems. It's not a sin to be in conflict. They're all part of the process of living, of growing up. Becoming a Christian does not give one a passport to prosperity. It is not an automatic solution to personality problems or marriage problems or money problems. The main issue of faith is not ridding life of pain and problems. It is acquiring a proper perspective. It is seeing life as God sees it. There are many Christians with problems. Some of these problems could have been avoided. Some could not. Some problems come with birth, personality problems, physical problems. Some problems come with living in the world, people problems, environment problems. Some problems come from our own mistakes, wrong decisions, wrong choices. Some problems come from the mistakes of others, problems with people we live with, problems with the society we live in. Some problems can be changed by our actions, correcting mistakes, correcting habits. Some problems can be changed by God alone, change of circumstances, change of attitude. Some problems can be changed by God, but won't be, for the sake of our growth, for the sake of His glory. Some problems cannot be changed by us or by God. Irreversible choices, unwilling persons. Problems are germane to the process of life, for Christians and non-Christians. The coming of Christ was not for the purpose of solving our earthly problems, but to recover spiritual vitality. A tranquil life can hinder the growth of the Spirit. A life of conflict is more in keeping with growth than a life of bliss. Coping with conflicts and chaos is a greater expression of faith than pressing God to resolve them. If God must eliminate our problems to keep us content, we become perennial prisoners of the fleshly playpen. Problems pertain to the realm of the flesh. They should not be used as a gauge of the Spirit, either of its vitality or of its favor with God. The circumstances of the apostles and prophets were constantly chaotic. Satan seemed bent on badgering them. God seemed unconcerned with their earthly comfort. Growth in the Spirit cannot be fostered by guarantees in the flesh of physical vitality or of a material prosperity. If God does not choose to change our circumstances, perhaps He's perfecting us in the capacity to cope with them. The ultimate purpose of life on earth is not grooming the self for earthly success, but grooming the spirit through earthly experiences. Getting one's life together may not be as important as getting from each day's events that which cultivates our spirits. We live out our days in the process of life, off doing well, more often than not, plagued with the thoughts of things poorly done, pressed with projection of things yet to do. We say to the heart, "Be still." To the mind, "Be wise." To the body, "Behave when I speak." But they are so very slow to respond, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And always, the promise that things will be better amidst moments, disheartening, when all seems awry. Yet, whoever came to earth's final curtain with all problems solved and all goals satisfied? We seek out Christ, and He comes to our spirit bringing His peace and power to live. He takes what we have of human resources and gives us a desire to use them for Him. He does not remake us to be somebody else, to fit some religious pattern or mold. He takes our personalities just as they are and helps us to make them all they can be. Nor does He change our circumstances to be what the proper Christian should be. Sometimes He leaves us to languish at length in conditions that frustrate and cause misery. The heart then cries out in anguish to God, "The burdens are beyond our enduring. Why won't you do something, fix things up?" But He seems completely unhearing. Does He really care? Am I just too unholy? Have I not enough faith? Or done something amiss? Think you that God withholds His assistance because you are not very holy or good? What kind of a father would such a God be? You see Him as only His enemy would. "You are hungry because you're misbehaving," whispers the enemy of God in your ear. "You'll just have to stay sick. Your mind harbors doubt. The wavering weakling He will not hear." But was it not James the apostle who said, "If you doubt, you will never receive"? Alas, That is one of those gross misconceptions that comes from not thoroughly knowing God's word. James wrote in Greek, but was misquoted in English. He spoke not of doubt, but debate. Paul used the same word addressing the Romans. Receive one another in faith, not dispute. Faith is of God. When he dwells in our spirit, debate is the chaos of human expression. Faith is the energy of God revealed in us. Debate is the product of human confusion. If you lack wisdom, said James, you may ask it of God, but not for disputing and strife. Ask in the nurturing context of faith, and he'll give to you freely for growth and for life. So think not that God is attached to condition without which you will never hear the heart's cry, demanding control of all rebel feelings before one can hope for response from on high. Would parents turn coldly in anger away from an unruly child in distress? Would they ever refuse medicine or food or leave it alone in the wilderness? What gross misconceptions we tend to believe if we would treat others as we think God treats us. His whole revelation of grace we would mock and fail at the love we are urged to express. Whence, then, have come the hosts of afflictions, and why does God not give us relief? Adversity does not come from God, but from Satan, who rules this world since the coming of sin. But does not God have the ultimate power? Can he not stay the enemy's hand? He can, but he doesn't for his own reasons. All goes according to his sovereign plan. In truth, the victory is already won. Satan can have no power, you see, over those who dwell in the realm of the real, in the spirit realm where God reigns supreme. By the sacrifice of Jesus, the human spirit was forever free. For all who will, the chains of sin are broken. If the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But why, if Satan has no power over those who belong to God, do I have so much trouble? He does what he wants. His power seems to be very broad. But his power is limited to earthly things, to the terrestrial sandbox, as it were. He buffets the flesh, but the spirit grows stronger. Whatever he does, his defeat is more sure. As the potter works the lump of clay to fashion the vessel as he himself pleases, so God oversees the events of our lives, shaping our spirits in the way that he chooses. And if he allows Satan to touch us adversely, it is for purposes he has designed. Something will come out of it, we know not what, but in the end, our spirits will be refined. Some things are hard, meant for our chastening, as parents must discipline the growing child, but always are tempered with wisdom and love. If in grace we receive them, more grace in us they will yield. So problems will always be with us. They will stretch end to end through our life on earth. We're like players on the football field whose world is nothing but problems from the moment they step on the turf till they leave. So do not expect God to help you sweep all your problems away and leave your life free of debris. Let him show you instead how to cope with the problems and remain at peace within. You surely may pray for his help, but leave to him to determine what kind of help it will be. Put everything in his hands and be at peace. He is with you forever. And if your mind be troubled, remember God's peace goes beyond the mind, remaining in the spirit forever unchanged. It's not a sin to worry. It's a natural thing in the flesh. But do not add to your problem the burden of needless guilt. So, if your problems have not been resolved and you think God does not hear or care, let your spirit be lifted by the thought that he trusts you with the burden you bear. And finally, remember that you'll make it through not by your faith in holding to God, but by his faith within holding you.